Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, and welcome to today's inspiration. I'm Lisa Berry, very grateful you're taking the time to listen. Grateful to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio for this opportunity to share my perspective in hopes of helping you live a more well-balanced, peaceful, loving, self-aware life. I would say my mission is simple because I feel there's so much pain and challenges in life. I want to be a light, share love and laughter as much as I humanly possibly can. And I share my perspective in hopes it inspires you to let go of the things or the attitudes that are keeping you up at night and worried all day. I want to encourage you to look inside yourself and find out who you are and what makes you happy. Why are you here? I always ask people, what makes you happy? And they say, I don't know. And I think, well, how can you be happy if you don't know? So it's worth it, in my opinion, to take the time to reflect on who you are and what you want out of life and make for the energy into making that happen so you can live a happier, more well-balanced life. I never try to tell people what to think or how to feel. I was on a group the other day, and we were watching a video of a woman, and she was very adamant in her views and her perspectives, and she was saying, you must feel this, and that is stupid, and she literally used that word, which and I was off-putting. I felt like she was like trying to cram it down my throat, and I never want to do that to anyone. We are all who we are based on where we've been in this world, and I have the perspective that I have today based on the things that I've been through, a lot of them painful, and instead of curling up in the corner and thinking, what's going to happen next, I open up my heart and my eyes and my mind, and I look forward to that, and I expect something good to happen. So I'm not going to tell you how to think or what to feel. I just want to share what I've been through and how it has brought me to this place of how I look at life. And I want to encourage others to look at life and look for good and expect the best, because we get what we expect. You see what you expect to see. What you focus on becomes your life. I read a book and he talks about being at a party. And in one corner, there was a couple and they were fighting and arguing, and they did not look at their time, and he left the party thinking, that was not a good party, that wasn't fun, and then the person in the car was with fun, upbeat people, and they had a great time. So what you focus on, what you look at, that's what you see, and that becomes your own reality. Be in love, and it will appear, and believe in love, and it will appear in place of others, seeing your love in a moment, and it will appear in places others see no love at all. And I do the show, and I try to make love and meditation and self-awareness more mainstream, because I don't understand why talking about love makes people so uncomfortable. Love, to me, is undeniably the most important thing in life. Obviously, you have to breathe, and you have to think, and our bodies take care of that. And when you're aware of just how complex the human body is and your mind is, well, I don't take one aspect of that for granted. That's another one of my causes. Another reason why I do the show is why I think I'm on this planet is because I don't want to take one person or one moment for granted. I call myself a moment taker. I try to be in the moment. I try not to dwell on the past or worry about the future. I try to be in this moment now, and I don't take any of it for granted, because it can all change in an instant. And it has for me many times in life, and I'm sure it has for you. So I wake up every day and I realize that's a miracle just because I woke up. And then as I put one foot in front of the other, I have gratitude that I can just do that. And then I try to focus on that gratitude as much as possible, kind of a step process, although I'm not really a process follower. I'm really but I give thanks for just being alive. I give thanks I woke up today, yay. I give thanks for a roof over my head, running water, for trash pickup, you name it. I make a conscious choice to be as grateful as possible. And I choose joy over anxiety. Now, I know that takes some work, and that takes some perspective, and it takes the right attitude. Believe the attitude is everything. But choose joy over anxiety. When you're feeling anxious, do some deep breathing. I'm going to feel joy. I'm going to feel joy. I'm going to feel good. And that's going to help you live a more peaceful life. If you think peaceful thoughts, you have a peaceful life. If you think loving thoughts, then you have a loving life. It's all up in your own head. And as I say, some people have chemical imbalance life, not a medical doctor, and that is your choice. So I always encourage people to see a not a problem. I know a lot of people, they look at life as a problem to be solved. It's a mystery to be solved. That's your choice. I choose to look at it as an adventure. And I want to have as much fun as possible. So I pay my bills. I go to work. I vote. I voted this week. I'm courteous to others. I'm a good citizen. But man, I, Lisa Berry, can find humor in pretty much every situation. And it really sets me to feel sad or down or troubled. I'm very, a lot of empathy. So I want to add love and laughter to their lives and help them look in, at life in a positive way as possible. It's one of the speeches I do, talks I do. I'd love to come and speak to your group or organization. It's called Powering Through as Positive as Possible. And I do the show every week, so I don't want to go through everything that I've been through, the challenges and the death and the health challenges of the loved ones and everything that I've been through. But I've been through it for a reason. I've taken the pain, I've taken the mess, and I'm turning it into a message. And I want to use that to encourage you to do the same thing. And I was in grace. Grace is one of my favorite words. Grace is well. Just that evening, you will see your that for yourself and everyone else so much better. Let's just call it grace. And grace is always available. You just need to tap in. And happiness is always possible. It's your choice. And it's the very bottom line. So you put them together. And this has been scientifically proven because I have a son in med school and he doesn't believe anything I say. It's been scientifically proven. Then one day he's watching a lecture and reading about one of his classes. And someone actually said, happiness is love. And I thought, aha, it's been scientifically proven. Happiness is love. Of course, I mean, love is happiness. And bottom line, love is the most important thing. But I want to make it so we can talk about love. If people aren't uncomfortable, I said something to a coworker the other day. They did something for me. I said, oh, thank you, I love you. And I thought they were going to pass out. It's like, I didn't mean that I love you. I want to marry you. I'm physically attracted to you. I meant love you. Thank you. Gratitude. That's what I'm talking about. So let's mention the L word as much as possible. Let's tap into feeling good and rising above the daily drama and looking for the best with everyone that you meet. I love living like that way, and I can do it. It's easy. I always say it's easy to look for what's so wrong. Anyone can do that. But it might take a little effort to come from a positive place, but I promise you that it's worth it. Forgive those who have wronged you and feel peace now and love yourself. That's also very important. Do you think, you know, children are, Whitney Houston sang that song, you know, teach your children to love themselves. But, you know, do people really follow that? It's like, how can you love anyone else? Or how can you feel love if you don't think you're both? And again, if you need professional help, I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. You want to feel okay? You can do that if you just think about what your gifts are, why are you here on this planet, what you bring to the world, what you're supposed to do. This is what I bring. I bring the show. I've done radio for a long time, and I'm very grateful for God and my spirit to give me this opportunity. And, you know, I don't define myself by these certain practices or beliefs. I don't have to be but I certainly have embraced the elements of Buddhism lately. I keep seeing more and more messages. This is a quote from the Buddha that I think is absolutely highly important. What you think you become, what you feel you attract, and what you imagine. So I'll sit there, you know, and your mind wanders, and you got that chatter going on, and you got that possibly negative discourse in your mind. It's something you and I touch me motive feeling person and I'm working on that. And what you imagine, you create. You basically become what you believe and your beliefs filter your experience. So I think it's safe to say that all of us would like to feel we're on this planet to make a difference and to be noticed and to be heard. That's the most important thing I say to people. Attention is the best gift that you can give someone. Really listen. Don't just wait to jump in with what you want to say next. That is the greatest gift in the world. And Jim Rohn says, success is not to be pursued, it is to be attracted by the person you become. So that's why it's so important to love yourself and know yourself and what are your gifts and why am I here. Sometimes that takes work, effort. But in my opinion, you just can't walk through life enough to be who you are and energy. And another great, wonderful thought from Wayne Dyer, who passed away a few months ago, every person you interact with should feel the inner glow that comes from being appreciated, particularly for the ways in which they express their creativity. The core theme strengthens the flow of the power of intention that you want for others as much as you can for yourself. So there is another person I have recently connected with who is undertaking a huge pursuit in the planet of Michigan, and I believe we've met for a reason. I would love nothing more for him to get a huge success. I want for him as much as I can for myself. So I invited him to join us today on Today's Inspiration. And I'd like to welcome Ricky Herbert, also known as Ricky Lampshade, after the wonderful space he's creating in this mighty calm lampshade. Hello, Ricky. I have his microphone activated. He stepped away for a second, but he is welcome to join in any time because it's set up and ready to go. And if you need to call back in, Ricky, if you can hear me, I can. We want to hear from a lot of people that you try with our technical situation, Ricky, if you can call back in, or I've got your microphone activated. So as we wait for Ricky to connect or reconnect, let's talk a little bit about the Dalai Lama. Also a great, wonderful spirit and finds happiness and brings laughter and great perspective wherever he goes. And recently wrote some information on the true nature of happiness. Lack of understanding of the true nature of happiness seems to me, according to the Dalai Lama, is the principal reason we inflict suffering on others. Why would we? Just checking in, Ricky, are you there? Oh, Ricky, I see that you're here, but for some reason you want to be much more while he was talking. I'm going to call back and I'm going to try it again. He talked about the Dalai Lama and happiness and why on earth would anybody want to inflict suffering on someone else? Ricky, if you're jumping in, we'll hear you out eventually. So let's talk about lack of understanding the true nature of happiness and the Dalai Lama, what he has to say about this. If they think either that the other person's pain is somehow a cause of happiness, someone might accept it. Why? He would constantly know that you're going to have happiness. So,
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Is that you? Ricky?
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm so wonderful. I had to upgrade technology to properly hear you.
Welcome to the new century. Well, you know, technology is not either one of our things. We're thinkers and feelers.
It is not.
I understand
I had to use my partner's phone because mine, I'm so old school, I had to use my partner's phone to properly hear you. He's up to times.
Well, good. Well, welcome. I tapped dance a little bit, hoping that you would connect because we got to have you on. Tell us a little about Ricky Herbert. How did you become the man you are today?
Oh, boy. It's interesting. I didn't prepare anything for this morning. I just kind of figured we would see what would happen. I think that I grew up in a very small Midwestern town in Michigan, and so sort of that typical upbringing and sort of questioning my own mortality and my own immortality and my own cosmic essence in a very small town, sort of not backwoods, but you know, the twangy Midwestern. I was the first one to go to college I'm one of 11 kids. I thought I was one of 10. I just found out I'm one of 11. My dad just found out recently. Sorry, Dad. And I think that I just from a very young age was really, really curious about the world and about my place in it and about all of our places in it. So I became the little investigator at a very young age. And sort of, you know, I went to U of M for undergrad and I was a high school teacher in New York for a few years. And then I just kind of decided in 2008 that I didn't really know what I was doing anymore. So I quit life and I traveled for 2 years, 30 countries around the world, and you know, did silent meditative retreats in Thailand and volunteered in Cambodia and just really sort of immersed myself outside of what I knew to be true. And I think there all the connective tissue started sparking. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. There are so many more levels to this Mario game. And then that's where I think that the real adventure started.
Put it in video game terms. That's good. That's relatable. Well, I think we have them in common. We're both deep thinkers. Unfortunately for me, I am who I am today because I've gone through a lot of what I call quote unquote stuff in life. And I thought, that's it. You know, it can change in an instant. I'm going to stay right in a second, and I'm going to try to use my skills in broadcasting and speaking to share that with others. Did you have a downside to all this, or were you just highly involved and running around the world and trying to make a difference?
Oh, girl, I definitely wrestle with demons. I know this is going to be live someday, and my dad will be able to see this or hear this. So I will be mindful of that. But I definitely I have an addictive personality. I've gambled. I've spent a lot of time gambling, playing poker. Poker, I think, is this cool, mindful fusion of sociology and reading people and psychology and math and statistics and theater, and it's just like this great culmination where you get to be a piece of theater but also assess everyone else's theater in a really heightened, extra oxygenated area. And so I definitely grappled with gambling 48-hour, 72-hour bingers. I had a 72-hour binger in Australia once where I played with the same people for 4 days and they kept leaving and going to work and showering and they would come back and I was still there. And it was kind of a really exciting high point, but it was also a low point of like, what are you doing? I mean, is this just because you're good at something doesn't mean you have to do something? And I think that is a huge thing, that just because we are naturally inclined towards something, that we really have to dig a little bit deeper into our higher selves and be like, is this what I want to do? Is this what my higher self is calling me to do? And, you know, alcoholism runs in my family, and I definitely dabbled with experimental. I didn't do anything until I was 28, and then I sort of experimented with drugs a little bit, and I think I found some clarity in that, and I'm grateful for it. I think that a lot of people experiment in their teens, and that didn't happen to me. I was super, super type A, hyper-focused, doing things, and so, yeah, there are some demons. I think as artists, we all kind of wrestle with things, but if I think the reconciliation of that darkness and light, finding the fusion where we tap into the darker bits of ourselves and let them shine, I think if we don't allow those pieces of ourselves to shine, then they will find a way to shine, and it may not be nearly as positive and white-lighted as it could have been. So I try to balance and let all my little devious nature, as it were. I'm not so sure it's actually that devious. I think we all are. No one's all heads or all tails, and I think if we let them play together at the table, that's really where the magic happens.
Well, one thing that I admire about you, Ricky Herbert, we're going to talk about your business in just a moment, is that you have one of my biggest fear. I don't want to be boring. I don't want to be average. We're not. There's so much to appreciate and take in the world. And you've traveled the world and you've done a lot of different things. And how has that contributed to how you look at life? And Ricky, you have to listen to me on the phone, not on the radio show. You'll be better.
I don't think, I'm not so sure that Lampshade could have even happened had I not have gone on this journey. I'm not joking when I say there's no shortage of hundreds of people, or maybe thousands, I don't know. I've met tons of people, and a lot of them have sort of doubted my journey, because it certainly is not one that many have taken, or sort of the mainstream have taken. And I think that a lot of times people are like, oh, when is he going to grow up? When is he going to get everything together? When is his ducks going to, when is he going to get his ducks in a row? When is all of this potential going to line up? And it's like, you know, because I would become a high school teacher, and then I would quit that life, and then I managed the Obama campaign, and then I quit that life, and then, you know, I was teaching some lectures at U of M, and then I quit that life, and I think that it was all kind of gearing me up for this project. I think people are what I know, and they're what I love, and being of service to the community, but in a way that's artful and in a way that is exciting and novel. I think that there's this whole idea of these milestones, and as we grow up, we grow out of certain things. I really think it's our own self-fulfilling prophecy, and I don't buy that once you're 30, you can't dress up in costumes anymore and be silly. I fully intend on sometimes wearing my costumes while I'm serving coffee to, you know, my regulars at Lampshade, and I think that that's really what is important to me with this space, is creating a safe space for people to live out their own magic you know, to whatever it is that makes you tick, that you can come and compassionately and mindfully and lovingly explore that and explore yourself with others and share yourself with others in a really nurturing, safe, non-judgmental, non-fear-based space. I think that there's abundance. There's unlimited abundance. And once we tap into that mentality that there's always enough, there's enough love, there's enough God, there's enough resource, there's enough of everything, once we really truly believe that, man, I mean, so many doors unlock. I pinch myself every day. The last 3 months have been such a whirlwind of just, like, so many positive people like you. You just came into my life, and it's like, how does this happen? This isn't a fluke. This is the cosmic essence of whatever is above and beyond us, the frequencies that are vibrating that we can't see, working together and working in our favor if we just truly trust in abundance and in the universe's gifts that we, you know, we came here for a purpose. And I don't think it's just to store away money and plan 401ks and plan a plan to plan life's plan. I think that there's a whole lot more going on.
Couldn't agree more. And unlimited resources and unlimited love is what I'm all about. And we kind of got ahead of ourselves, so let's back up a minute. Ricky Herbert is the creating a business in downtown Ypsilanti, Michigan, called Lampshade. We talked a little bit about what it is, but let's go back to the beginning. What exactly is Lampshade, and where are you now in the planning process?
I actually, to be honest, I can't really hear you. So what I do is I talk and then I go to the computer and I try to hear what you're saying. So I'm not entirely with you on this conversation as much as I want to be. I wish we were just across from each other sipping coffee. So I'm sort of piecemealing my responses because this technology is not so great. So Lampshade is, as you said, it's a new shop in downtown Ipsy on Michigan Avenue. It's really just an incubator. People are like every day, what is it? What is it? What is it? It sounds great. And I think it keeps sort of morphing because it really is whatever the community decides it's going to be. My goal is to present a really beautiful, almost luxuriously like thrifty, bohemian, Gatsby, 1920s flapper sort of environment. We have tons of instruments from all over, and we're building beautiful stages for people to perform on. So my goal is if I build a canvas, then people can paint all of their life's contents on it. So it's a coffee shop, a bookshop, music venue, performance space, meditation, yoga, classroom, events, talks. We just held the last Democratic debates there. It really is kind of a one-stop shop. We're going to do our own line of artisanal products called Lampshade. So we'll have deodorant, toothpaste, bar soaps, and then tons of organic, healthy, vegetarian, almost most of it vegan snacks on display. And we are working with several local roasters for our coffee and our tea. So everything will be local. We want to sort of spotlight all of the cool things that are happening and all the cool roasters and their new beans and their new lines in this space. So the space is kind of a chameleon. I think that's kind of what I feel I am. For a long time, I wasn't sure, like, oh, am I really an artist? Like, I don't feel like a painter. I don't feel like a writer. And I realized that my art is creating space for other people to let their art sing, and that I sort of get to almost selfishly indulge in that. So if I build the space and then the best musicians and the best artists and the best poets come, then I don't have to leave my own home, and I get to just indulge in fellowship and share with everyone. And those who are just getting started, right? We just had a 8-person stand-up comedy night, and, you know, several of them hadn't really done it, and several of them were veterans. So I think if we build a non-competitive space where it's like we're collaborating, we're not being in competition, then that really brings out the best in everyone while still, you know, saying we want to hold ourselves in high regard. I mean, we want to be the it place, right? If a musician's sweeping through or if Deepak Chopra is sweeping through, we want him to be like, oh, yeah, Lampshade, that's where I want to go. I've heard about that place.
Definitely. And you are connecting with the body, mind, spirit community. And I'm sure you'll carry the magazine there. And you'll see that there are a lot of people who are involved in exactly what you are trying to create. And I think this would be a great – I'm giving you my endorsement. I didn't do that. But giving you a great space to hold all sorts of activities. I know I want to be part of it. I have meditation teachers I would love to bring there. And it's just going to be another place to have these kind of events. And I'm sort of selfish. Like, I do this radio show, so I can't be immersed
We're not open yet. We're still in remodel phase. I have two gentlemen working in the basement right now. I have a really wonderful builder. It's really just incredible. He came out of nowhere, and he's just this angel builder, and he's really thoughtful with his craft. And there's an electrician down there right now, and the plumbers are coming tomorrow. We're hoping within a month to be fully open. And once we are, we want to hit the ground running. So really, anyone who has events or classes or ideas that they want to host here, we're having people submit things. Our website is lampshade.life, not .com, it's lampshade.life, and people can propose anything, whether you're an acoustic guitarist who just wants to join an open mic, or you're a sound healing gong and crystal bowl aficionado who wants to come and lead a TED-level talk. We're having classes twice a day from 12 to 1 and 3 to 4, and so there's heaps of slots for everyone to come and, offer up what they think was their calling for them to come to this place. The whole way that Lampshade works is that whatever you get from this space, you give back in equal measure. And that doesn't have to be monetary, right? That's volunteering, that's classes, that's events, that's just like your love and your light. There are plenty of ways for everyone to get involved. We're doing a lot of youth outreach, open mics we're doing an inner city open mic once a month. We've got some pretty lofty goals. And Lisa, you'll like this. We're also going to do a web-based radio and video station. So we're hooking up webcams and all that. I have someone coming out from San Francisco to hook up. So we want this to be a platform where people all over, much like today's inspiration with you, where people all over can listen in and get the nourishment they need if they can't come to the actual brick-and-mortar shop.
Okay, well, keep in mind, you're pretty. And some of us are in radio for a reason. Keep that in mind when you hook up the radio station and the video camera. And then, of course, you can Periscope and you can Snapchat. And the technology world is changing by the second because you have a lot of outlets. How did you get lampshade.life as a website? How cool is that?
Yeah, so I think that this is important. I think you and I are both old kindred spirits, and I used to say, I feel like I was supposed to be born in a different decade 50 years ago, that whole, romantic, wistful line, and I don't think that's true. I think that we are here to be torchbearers, to not forget our past and to not forget that live music and active conversation and looking into someone's eyes and gazing into someone's eyes and really slowing down enough to talk to them, that these don't have to be lost on the technological era. I think there's a way to mindfully fuse what is inevitable, because it seems like, Facebook and Snapchat, these aren't going anywhere. So how do we tap into that, into a new audience that feels alienated and isolated? I think that we have more capability to be connected than ever, and somehow people feel more isolated than ever. So I think that that really is one of our really big goals, is to how to really use the bandwidth of the internet and the crazy world of interwebs to bring about love and compassion versus division and, ego-driven, whatever it is. Lampshade.life, actually. So they're running out of website names for .coms. Can you believe it? So they just launched 10 new dot fill in the blank. So .life, .house, there's all sorts of them. And so we locked up lampshade.life. And so people are still confused. People are trying to type in lampshade.life.com. And we're like, no, this is really it. Believe it or not, this is exciting. We get to just have lampshade.life as our web address. I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm pretty excited about everything. I'm mostly excited about you, Ricky, I don't want to put that on your life. You are a true light of the world, and very excited for your business to open and to be part of our community, all about community and connection, and appreciate your enhancement of that. And again, if you want to connect with Ricky, it's lampshade.life. If you want to connect with me, it's Lisa Love, Barry, Barry at gmail.com. I can speak and host, connect, and share my love and laughter, and so grateful for you coming up today on today's inspiration. And again, if you want to connect with either one of us, I've given you the information. Thanks, Ricky, for joining us today and sharing his lampshade light. And there's no shade on Ricky, if you can tell by talking to him. And I look forward to it.
Darling, I don't know if this is my turn to talk, but to say thank you. I really can't hear anything, but thank you so much for having me on. And I'm definitely interested. Anytime you want a chitty chat, darling, and once we get ours up and running, you have to come play with us.
Okay,
thank you, Lisa.